That's all right, all a little less appassetti and eat a little more spaghetti. What's going on, everybody? I know. Somebody gifted me the shirt. So a little less appassetti, a little more spaghetti. Talk about impersonations. Corey Graves stole the show for me tonight. If you missed Raw, a very good show. I mean, it had a couple of moments. You know, I think about it, a three-hour show. I mean, you can't expect 3 hours of rock-solid, top-shelf programming. It's going to have its peaks, its valleys. You know, last week we tried to do the good, the mid, the bad, the awful, and you really found yourself, you know, more like great and good than anything else. I thought today's Raw was pretty good, but as far as Corey Graves, you know, I got a little workaround as far as online. Like, I can play longer clips as long as it's just audio. And tonight we had Drew McIntyre take on Ludwig Kaiser. Maybe my favorite Ludwig Kaiser one-on-one match since he's been on the main roster yet. The amount of offense that he gave to Drew McIntyre tonight was impressive. I honestly thought this was a little bit of a breakout match for Ludwig Kaiser, and I already think Imperium is fucking awesome. But tonight, man, he really, really shined. But during the match, Corey Graves, and you know he's been practicing it, and, you know, sometimes when you could do really good impersonations, you throw it out there. I mean, you know I have my share that I do when needed on the shows. But out of nowhere, as I'm taking my notes, I'm like, wait a minute, Ludwig Kaiser's in the ring. How is he talking? Then I thought maybe we had a moment like The Rock, where The Rock was having a match and he, shout out to my... And you know what the funny thing is? If you actually listen to Corey Graves impersonating Ludwig Kaiser, he almost sounds like a German version of The Rock. And I'm not kidding. For those, doesn't matter if you're tuning in via video or audio, you got to give this a listen. I would be disrespecting Raw tonight if I didn't put this up here earlier. Just listen to Corey Graves as Ludwig Kaiser tonight.
I'm going to do commentary as Ludwig Kaiser for the duration of this match. Kevin Patrick, be at the top of your game as we witness a side headlock that will make the ring general blush. This is expert wrestling ability from Ludwig Kaiser. The ring general is impressed.
It went on and on and on. He would go from his regular commentary into Ludwig Kaiser throughout the whole match. Beautiful. It just caught me by surprise. And believe me, that wasn't even like the best part. There's so many things and there's so many, you know, angles. You're taking notes, you're trying to watch, you're paying attention, this and that. And then you're trying to download, you're trying to edit, you're trying to upload. And, you know, it's not easy to put a show live. I mean, there's a lot of people that do recaps on Raw and they put no pictures, no videos, no sound clips, no nothing. They just talk. I try to give a little bit extra. Man, that was fun. He made that fucking fun. And if you didn't check out Drew versus Kaiser tonight, forget the Corey Graves commentary, but the match itself, excellent. Really, really enjoyed that match. Obviously, we are only one Raw away from SummerSlam. Next Monday is the go-home show for SummerSlam, and a little bit of a quick plug for those that are interested. Next Tuesday, I can't believe it's already August 1st next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, Kev Castle and yours truly will be doing a SummerSlam preview and predictions. As of right now, we have 7 matches confirmed. there will be at least one or two more. The interesting thing about it, I hope you saw the seeds tonight. No, I'm not talking about a split between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That was something that we talked about a little bit on the sit-down yesterday. But at the very end of Raw tonight, when the Judgment Day came out and took out Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn tried to make the save on his own. He got leveled. Apparently no one else in the back cares about Seth Rollins. Fine. Kevin Owens did not come out because earlier we were given this story that the Judgment Day attacked Kevin Owens during a certain title defense, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and he was injured. That's why Kevin Owens didn't make the save. There's more to it. Kevin Owens not making the save tonight and being injured, and now Sami Zayn being taken out by Judgment Day, that might be the seeds to plant that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will not be defending the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships at SummerSlam. As of right now, they have no match. Yesterday on the sit-down and even Saturday's Don Tony show, we questioned, who are they facing? I don't think it's going to be Dominic Mysterio. Damian Priest ain't got no match either. Now, sure, something could change next week. I don't see that happening. Interesting thing also is that it appears that Rhea Ripley also may not have a match at SummerSlam. Now, Raquel Rodriguez, the injury that we were told tonight is that she's hurting. She's hurting. No torn ligaments, no broken bones, no fractured made-up joints that we never heard of before. So there's always that possibility that that could happen. But there's a very good chance that Finn Balor may be the only member of Judgment Day wrestling at SummerSlam. And we also could very well not have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending the tag titles at SummerSlam. Things you need to think about going into SummerSlam. As you heard earlier, we talked about it on Saturday. I don't know why other people did not pick up on it. Dominic Mysterio actually did make history last week. The first person ever to main event Monday Night Raw. Title matches, too. Monday Night Raw, NXT, and SmackDown. Three main events, all title matches. Made history. You could see WWE is starting to put the jets behind Dominic Mysterio. And as long as that crowd keeps reacting the way they are, and you got to see the house shows. The house shows, they don't let up either. And they just had some house shows in Mexico. And he was extremely over. I mean, you know, I know some of you out there still haven't bought in with Dominic Mysterio. I bought in a long time ago. I'm enjoying it, man. As weird as this sounds, Dominic is quickly becoming one of my top favorites to watch on WWE television. He's putting it together right before our eyes. Will he ever be on superstar level main eventing on a consistent basis as far as pay-per-views, premium live events? I don't know about that. But, man, I don't think maybe he was confident. Maybe his father was confident. I don't think any of us, let's be honest, I don't think any of us 2 years ago ever thought that that guy would be in the position that he's in right now. You got to give him credit, you know, a little bit of credit. By the way, this has nothing to do with wrestling, but somebody sent me this picture tonight, and I just want to know, just out of curiosity, would any of you eat these Mountain Dew hot dogs? Hot dogs brewed in Mountain Dew soda? Would you eat these? I'm curious if you would eat those. I know probably only five of you will post a comment later, but let me know if you would eat those hot dogs. By the way, next Monday on Peacock, they are airing The American Nightmare Becoming Cody Rhodes. And this is a big deal. It's good, and I've talked about this already before, it's good to put together a lot of little seeds a little connect the dots that younger fans out there would not pick up on a regular basis. And that's not criticism. I'm not one of those that's going to turn around and say to you, oh, because you didn't know CM Punk's Ring of Honor theme from 18 years ago, you know, oh, you're supposed to know that. You're supposed to know that this happened. No, no, you're not required to learn everything about wrestling history. You'll see things happen as they go along. And this documentary is going to show you why Cody is in the position that he's in. You'll see some dots connected, and then you will be left with the realization of a phrase that I've been saying for a while now. Cody's finishing the story. Don't try to change it. It ain't happening with Drew McIntyre last year. It ain't happening with Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber. It ain't happening with Jey Uso at SummerSlam. It ain't happening with Solo Sikoa at Payback. It ain't happening with Jimmy Uso. It ain't happening with fucking Santa Claus. As long as Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes do not get injured, that screws up their opportunity at WrestleMania, this is the path that they're going in. It would come back as one of the biggest disasters. Put it this way, it makes Lex Express look like, you know, like nothing, like a Matchbox car. Yes, I'm the first to say it. I didn't want to wait a year. Why do we need to wait a year? But it's happening. It's happening. Something else that is happening. We talked about it yesterday. It's kind of funny, man. Is it kind of like bizarre? You know, we talked last week and we were joking that, you know, about certain things, and, you know, people will put something out there, and then, you know, you see something on TV, and then they try to put something out there as actual news. Yesterday, we were talking about LA Knight. And yes, I am frustrated, just like everybody else, that LA Knight is not facing Austin Theory at SummerSlam for the United States Championship. But yesterday, we got on an idea that something big is happening with LA Knight still at SummerSlam, and the Austin Theory scenario is not 100% out of the question. Because Austin Theory getting a little bit too cocky, whether he takes on Santos or whether he takes on Rey Mysterio, he might beat them in no time. We might even have a bullshit injury angle. And Austin Theory at SummerSlam, he's just warming up. And LA Knight could still confront him and beat him for that championship. Because if you've read between the lines, Austin Theory has been baited into matches recently simply by insulting him. So that is something that we just talked about yesterday in passing. Did you see all the fucking news sites today? That LA Knight still has a big plans for SummerSlam, and he may have a match, and he may still take on Austin Theory after all. Yeah, okay. It's like the Cody Rhodes, Bray Wyatt stuff. Yes, I talked about it yesterday. Yesterday's show, really, really a lot of fun. But I have to mention it here. Something that we're all asking ourselves. Who is Cody Rhodes facing after SummerSlam? What's the feud? And you look at the roster up and down. You know, especially on Raw, there ain't too many options that somebody out of nowhere, unless Randy Orton makes a return, and by process of elimination, you know, the Bray Wyatt bullshit. And, you know, we joked on last week's show that every couple of weeks or every month, you get these no boozer DQ bullshit jabronis out there. Oh, Bray Wyatt's nearing a return. A month later, Bray Wyatt's nearing a return. 2 months later, Bray Wyatt's nearing a return. 4 months later, Bray Wyatt is on the verge of a return. And they're doing it again. And people are like, who's he going to face? Who's he going to face? So now the kick that everybody's on is this. A little rehashing of the pro versus the rookie. I don't see WWE bringing up this history. Do you honestly in your right mind think that WWE wants regular casual wrestling fans to think that The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, was Husky Harris? I don't think so. So let me make this clear. Bray Wyatt could very well feud with Cody Rhodes. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the people that are putting it out there, that's not news. That's a guess. That's a hunch. It's a big difference between guessing and reporting. There ain't no one out there that is close with Bray Wyatt or Cody Rhodes or WWE Creative that they have some inside scoop that Bray Wyatt's returning to feud with Cody Rhodes. If it happens, good guess, good hunch. But it is not news. I want to make that clear. It is not news. No, Sonya Deville will not be turning on Chelsea Green anytime soon. WWE is extremely happy with Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. You know, Sonya Deville, she did the GM role for a while because of, you know, she wasn't really ready to return to the ring inside. Remember that traumatic experience she had with that freak that's in jail right now? But remember, it was supposed to be Chelsea Green and Carmella. Carmella got pregnant. Congrats to her. And we got some news I want to share with you in a moment. So Carmella getting pregnant, obviously that squashed the idea of that tag team, and they put Sonya Deville. I can't believe how great Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green click right now. They're great. And WWE is very, very happy with it. By the way, I wasn't even going to mention it, and I didn't mention it yesterday. It wasn't news. You know, if you look at the size of the belt, it was the giveaway, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Did you see all the nonsense over the weekend, people reporting that Matt Cardona took Chelsea Green's WWE Women's Tag Team Championship and brought it all the way, I think, to Japan or for an indie wrestling event? Not true. It's a replica title that he bought at a store, and he did it to show support for his wife, and it was cleared by WWE. And people thinking that, you know, that Matt Cardona on his own, to, you know, Chelsea Green just gave him their title so he could go travel around the world. It was a lie. It was a lie. It was a lie. But I had to mention it because it was a lie. All right. I know it's not a big deal for a lot of you out there, but I think this is pretty cool. And the funny thing about it is, if, you know, I brought it up last week and last Tuesday. And if you heard last Tuesday's show with Kevin and I, when we dissected the AEW roster and I answered some questions afterwards, I said, you know, let's keep it on the low and I'll mention it more on Monday. The funny thing is, and I have to share this, so you'll get a kick out of it, even though it's, you know, it's a nice story, but just to show you how a lot of these news sites operate. I have some official news to break on this show. I know there's rumors floating around, but no one seems to have gotten the answer. And there's a reason behind it. Just to give a little bit of a congratulatory, you remember this story way back earlier in the year? Misha Montana, you know, having a relationship with Matt Riddle. And I brought Misha Montana on Forbidden Door. And we talked about a lot of things, and there was a few personal things about Matt Riddle that we did not bring on the show out of respect to Matt Riddle. Some really deep, somewhat dark parts of our lives. If the person themselves want to make it public, they're the ones that do it. Not me, not you, not someone that's just looking for gossip. That's why I didn't bring up some of the things. And I said it right at the beginning of the show, disclaimer, we're not bringing it up. And, you know, I did it out of respect. And, you know, just a little news to share with everyone. Congratulations to Matt Riddle and Misha Montana. They are expecting a little one later on in the year. Congrats to both of them. Best wishes, all the best. And, so little baby bro is on the way. Now, let me tell you something that's cute about this. A lot of people out there, if you go Google it, they have question marks next to all their articles. Is Misha Montana denying that it's Matt Riddle's kid? Is Misha Montana pregnant with his kid or someone else's kid? And if you read every single article, they don't give you the answer. They just post quotes of what Misha was tweeting. The funny thing is I talked to Misha last week a couple of times, And I asked her point blank. And she told me. She's like, yeah, it's true. Put it on your show. Tell everyone. I have a lot of respect for her. She's got a lot of respect for me. Matt Riddle appreciates, you know, the conversation we had. He's the one that signed off on a lot of it. And I asked her, just out of curiosity, I said, Misha, did any other wrestling news sites DM you and ask you, is it true? You know what she said to me? No. Pretty much nobody. Not none, but almost nobody. Most 99% of the sites out there that were posing the question, why didn't you just DM her for the answer? Just telling you that this is how people operate. A lot of people don't want to know the answer because it's spicier and it's more clicks and views to leave it as a question. Why do you think so many of these shows out there will put in big, bold clickbait headlines on YouTube things that aren't true? And a lot of times they post it and you're like, wait, this is not true. And then you click on it and the host says, no, it's not true. So congrats to both of them. I just wanted to share it. So all the best. All right. One other thing. Then we'll get into Raw. We'll do a couple of previews, some ratings. I got some ratings for you. And I got to tell you something also about the preemption with Friday with the women's soccer. You'll get a kick out of this. But first, I just want to thank everybody who tuned in to this weekend shows. As I said last week, and we kept it quiet for the most part because I didn't want people to think that I was doing it just to get exposure on my show. But I said that any super chats that came in over the weekend, we were going to take them and donate it to Shotzi Blackheart's sister's GoFundMe. She is battling liver cancer. So as I always do for transparency, this is her GoFundMe page as of right now. If you go on there, you will see. You will see my name on there as well. Earlier today, I donated $100 on behalf of the family. And also, we got over the weekend about $75 from everybody out there. So I rounded it off. I made it an even 100 and I sent it over. Yes, I know we're not, you know, as big of a lot of these other sites out there, but, you know, it's still, any little bit helps. And I just wanted you to see that we sent everything over. And by the way, shout out to my Thai fans out there. And yes, Thai from Blue Wire, but I mean Thai as in T-H-A-I. Somebody put a smile on my face earlier and said, DT, you know, you're very, very popular in Thailand. And I'm like, why? And I got an email from someone that lives in Thailand and says, love your show. You're very popular here, and sent me this link. Right now in Thailand, we are number one. And Jason Solomonster, number two. Jim Cornette, number three. So pretty freaking cool, man. I think that is pretty cool. I mean, we're consistently in the top 50. And yes, I'm not going to lie. If we scrapped YouTube and scrapped video altogether, and all of the shows were strictly audio, believe me, we would be in the top 15 every single week because a good portion of the numbers are divided because of it. I won't give that up anytime soon, but as I say, the audio shows are the lifeline of what I do here. Believe me, if changes ever need to be made down the line, video would probably be the first to go. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, we don't make millions here on YouTube, and that's why so many people clickbait bullshit, because that's the only way that they could get, you know, numbers, money coming in like that. And unfortunately, my tits are not sexy enough that I could be showing you cleavage and talking wrestling and get people to tune in. So, all right, Monday Night Raw tonight. We had a couple of previews in advance. We knew that Cody Rhodes was going to be discussing Brock Lesnar. Becky Lynch was going to take on Zoe Stark, and if she beats Zoe Stark, she gets the match against Trish Stratus at SummerSlam. Actually, you know what? That makes seven matches confirmed. That's seven matches confirmed. So we'll go down to SummerSlam card in a little bit. Bronson Reed was going to take on Ciampa, man, was that match good. The problem is what was lurking in the background. Well, we knew it was going to happen, and it happened exactly like we expected it. Ciampa took on Bronson Reed. We also, early in it, on, we knew that Logan Paul was going to have a confrontation with Ricochet. We had a couple of face-to-faces tonight. We had Ricochet and Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre and Gunther, a contract signing with Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. We had a lot of stuff going down tonight. But the one that came in a little bit later was this, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. That match did not happen. It did not happen. And that was an interesting segment because it was very, very good and kind of eh at the same time. And it was not Rhea Ripley's fault and it was not Liv Morgan's fault. I can't wait to tell you what really pissed me off about that segment. And I think a lot of you will agree on there. So without further ado, let's... by the way, does anybody out there think that Logan Paul... I don't care how many millions of people who follow him. You would think that standards and practices, and yes, WWE actually does have standards and practices, the network. Why do you think they even edit out the word bitch on highlights? Yeah, they allowed Finn Balor to say it at 10:57 p.m., but early in the night, that shit was censored out. When Finn Balor called that fan, go get laid, you're a virgin, that's... somebody that doesn't understand that, you know, you got to be a little bit more careful when you're on WWE television. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, yeah, we have to recap Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw tonight in Tampa, Florida at the Amalie Arena, Tampa, Florida, home of the Tampa Bay Lightning. 14,409 in attendance. I ain't going to run down every little nook and cranny of this. I will just give you an overview, what I thought of it. Most of it I liked. Some of it I didn't. Some I thought was kind of like, oh, something really irked me tonight. But Judgment Day opened up the show, minus Rey Mysterio. Oh, Rey Mysterio gets the big pomp and circumstance tonight. He made history last week, as we talked about over the weekend. We open up with a little rinse and repeat. And the funny thing is, Kevin Owens even admitted that the opening of Raw tonight was rinse and repeat. And we've said rinse and repeat quite a few times in the last 6 weeks, haven't we? So you got Finn, Rhea, and Damian Priest in the ring. They're talking about their usual shit. The difference today is Rhea Ripley says, not only do we run Monday Night Raw, we also run all of WWE. Rhea Ripley introduces Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio comes out, gets his own entrance. Crowd is shitting all over him. Dominic Mysterio, Corey Graves pointing out how he made history last week. We get a little video package of Dominic Mysterio winning the NXT North American Championship. And then we get a little bit of an interruption by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Dominic's trying to talk. I am the new NXT North American champion, whether you and Kevin Owens' music hits. Kevin Owens comes out and admits they did the same shit last week on Monday Night Raw. Kevin Owens says, no one cares about you, Dom. The best thing you could do is shut your mouth forever. And as a wrestling fan, guys, when I hear Kevin Owens saying nobody cares about you, I say to myself, okay, you know, Dominic's an annoying mosquito, no question. But, you know, it gets a little bit over the top. I'm like, really, Kevin? You know, KO? You know, we can talk. We want to see Dominic get his ass kicked. Trust me, I think a lot of you out there would rather see Dominic get his ass kicked than be off TV. So Dominic feels he's being disrespected. And then we get the Acme match, the Acme Insta match. Sami Zayn says that he agrees with Dominic, that Dominic is disrespected because no one in the building respects him. So Sami Zayn says, I have an idea how you could gain a little respect. How's about you face me tonight? And Dom says, yeah, come get some. So Sami says, hey, last week You wanted us to put the titles on the line. How's about you put your title on the line? Rhea Ripley grabs the mic and says, Dom accepts. So the match is on for later on in the night. Dominic Mysterio defending the NXT North American Championship against Sami Zayn. Opening match for tonight, Becky Lynch defeats Zoe Stark with the manhandle slam. Little bit of a back and forth. Trish Stratus trying to get involved a few times during the match. Trish wearing the mask once again. Trish at one point tosses the mask, trying to distract the referee. The referee tosses the mask away. Little back and forth, but ultimately we get Zoe Stark kind of crappy when you look back on it. Zoe just jumps off the rope, and Becky's like, oh, okay, manhandle slam, 1, 2, 3. She gets the pin, and after the match is over, Trish Stratus looks very, very concerned because Trish will be taking on Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. Cody Rhodes comes out next. This was fucking great, man. Cody is on all cylinders right now. Tampa Bay, what do you want to talk about? He does his new shtick that we've been talking about for a few weeks now. My apologies to those at home. Please forgive me as I turn around so I could see all the fans attending here tonight. He turns around and the crowd is eating it up. And he says to everybody, you've all seen the clip, Brock beating me up, Brock beating me with a chair, Brock beating me with a chair in front of my mother. It wasn't on my bucket list for 2023 of Brock beating me with a chair in front of my mother, but I'm not surprised. Color me impressed. Remember, we're talking about Brock Lesnar. He won the UFC title in less than five fights. He made an NFL team, the Vikings, without any football experience. He calls Brock Lesnar Mr. SummerSlam. Then he says, you know who was not impressed? My mother. She's the same lady that saw Terry Funk throw fireballs in my father's eyes. She's the same lady who used to have drinks down the street with Gordon Solie at Columbia. Little local pop. Crowd is eating it up. Name dropping localities. And if you Google it, yeah, he's actually telling the truth about the stories of Dusty and his wife and Gordon and others having drinks at the Columbia. Brock, you made a mistake. You left me breathing. I'm going to SummerSlam to embarrass you. I'm not poking the bear. I'm slapping it across the face and telling him to come get it. And the crowd is chanting, Cody, Cody. I want to beat you at SummerSlam because it's what you deserve. And when I'm old and gray and smoking a Fuente 858, I will look back and say, it wasn't pretty, but I closed that chapter. Yeah. You tune into the special next week, you'll see how some of this starts to fall into place. Next, and it was a little surprising that this happened so early in the night, but I'm kind of happy in reflection. I thought Dom Dom might be main eventing a fourth WWE show in a row as far as TV goes. Dominic Mysterio coming out to the ring with Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest. No Finn Balor, because Finn Balor, I guess, needs to mentally prepare for the contract signing later on. We get Dominic Mysterio taking on Sami Zayn. A fun match. I mean, then again, you know, we've seen a lot of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Judgment Day and Dominic Mysterio for quite some time. One fall, I've never called the Judgment Day NWO wannabes. I want to make that clear. They are a faction, and they're not, no, I never said that. Please don't put words in my mouth. During the match, Rhea Ripley with a few cheap shots, we did get a little comedy segment. At one point, Kevin Owens was standing on the apron, and for some reason, the referee gets very, very strict and ejects Kevin Owens. Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley are laughing their ass off, but Kevin Owens would ultimately get the last laugh. Well, for now, because then they got ejected. So now it's strictly Sami Zayn and Dominic Mysterio in the ring. And it was a nice back and forth match. Towards the latter part of the match, Dom attempts a frog splash. But Sami Zayn gets the knees up. He dumps Dominic in the corner and sets up for the Luva kick. And then Kakaz. Kakaz. Here's the distraction, everybody. The go-to distraction. Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, Kevin Owens are back on the stage. And, yeah, Sami Zayn, a little bit concerned, takes his eye off the ball. Dominic Mysterio with a little bit of a fruit roll-up gets the win on Sami Zayn, and Dominic Mysterio retains the North American Championship. By the way, when we do the NXT preview, Dominic and Rhea Ripley will be on NXT tomorrow. I wonder if Rhea Ripley is going to have a match. And I wonder if she takes on Taya Valkyria. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but every member of Judgment Day has had a match on NXT recently, except for Rhea Ripley. They will be at NXT tomorrow. Hyping up the Great American Bash, by the way. We get a little recap of Friday SmackDown, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso. I do have the ratings, and very interesting when I get into the numbers. Remember, they were on FS1. Did much better than previous appearances on FS1, but I can't wait to share with you a little ratings tidbit about the women's soccer that Fox put in SmackDown's place this past Friday. All right, another audio segment coming. Ricochet is in the back, and he sees Shinsuke, and he's like, Shin, let me know if you see Logan Paul. And Shinsuke's got his look on his face like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then Ricochet leaves. He's like, I ain't fucking telling you shit. Then Shinsuke turns around the other way, and here's Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa tells Ricochet that he's going to let last week go because he got involved and caused Shinsuke to lose. But you only got one freebie. Do not go out there tonight for my match, because if you do, we have a problem. All right, so you know what's happening, everyone. You know Shinsuke is going to come out there. We'll get back to that in a little bit. We get a little bit of another Acme Insta-feud, as I have been calling it since the 1990s. We get Dominic and Judgment Day in the back, and they're celebrating a little bit. Dominic bumps into Apollo Crews. Do we have a problem? Damian Priest gets in his face. How's about we settle that problem in the ring later on? So Apollo Crews versus Damian Priest is set up for tonight. Bronson Reed versus Tommaso Ciampa. This match was a lot better than you think it would have been. Ciampa, it's almost like the Kaiser match. Ciampa got a lot of offense in there. Ciampa countered the Oklahoma Stampede into a DDT. We had chop fests by both guys. We've had forearms to each other by both guys. Ciampa almost hulking up at one point, which was fucking great, man. Reminded me more of an AEW match. And listen, some of AEW's matches, you know, if it's not overly, you know, teased like finishes, you know, they got a style that you kind of get into. WWE has their style also that you get into. But tonight, a little bit against the normal WWE grain as far as the match. And if you watch the match with Ciampa and Reed, you know what I'm talking about. Especially that Ciampa got up fucking Bronson Reed and hit like a modified Famouser. I mean, hit a rolling elbow, clothesline, modified face. And I'm saying to myself, I'm shocked that they're letting Ciampa get this much offense in there. And it was an excellent match. Unfortunately, what we all expected to happen, happened. Ciampa attempts a sunset flip. Bronson just falls right on him. Old school, heavy set wrestlers going back to the 80s, just sit down. Honestly, if you're that heavy and somebody's trying to pull you over, just sit on their chest. Just plop down. And you squash them like a grape. So at this point, everybody is expecting Nakamura to show up. We get a nice forearm exchange from both guys. Step up knee by Ciampa. Air raid clash onto Bronson Reed for almost a three count. Crowd was popping big time. And then, here comes Nakamura. Nakamura comes down to ringside. I told you, don't come out here. So Ciampa takes his eye off the ball. Ciampa turns around. There's Bronson Reed with a little bit of a shoulder block, brings him back in the ring. Tsunami. 1, 2, 3. Bronson Reed gets the win. Fun match. I tell you, a little less than Kaiser and Drew, but that match was a. I'm props to WWE for giving that match the time that it did. If they didn't have the Nakamura aspect of it, I would have enjoyed it even more. So now we get to some fun. Liv Morgan is in the back talking to Byron Saxton. She says that Raquel is hurting, but she will be back soon. And Rhea does everything she does because she thinks that nobody could stop her. But Liv Morgan reminds everyone that she is the last person to defeat Rhea Ripley, and she will do it again tonight. Liv Morgan leaves, and the women's tag team champions are there, and they're pissed off at Byron Saxton. You know, disrespectful that you choose to interview Liv Morgan and not interview us. And Byron Saxton says, well, Liv does have a match tonight with Rhea Ripley. And Sonya Deville is about to rip into Rhea Ripley, and Sonya Deville is like, everything's about Rhea. Everything's about Rhea. And then Rhea Ripley shows up. And then Sonya Deville is like, everything's about Rhea, as it should. As it should. And they walk off. So Rhea Ripley is with Byron Saxton, and she says, I warned Liv and Raquel to stay out of my business. So now we think we're getting the match, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. Crazy Cruiserweight with a two spot. Thank you, Cruiserweight. Much love. Hope you're doing well. We eliminated the mid for tonight, if you know what I'm talking about. Liv Morgan comes out for a match. Unfortunately, Rhea Ripley attacks her from behind. Little brawl outside the ring. And Liv Morgan, give her an A++ for her selling tonight. She sold like $1 million. Rhea Ripley, as much as fans are loving her character, her presence, her work, if you really pay close attention, fans cheer Rhea Ripley when, you know, she's actually in the ring. But when she wants to heal it, the crowd fucking gave it to her tonight. This went from awesome to kind of goofy. Rhea Ripley brings Liv Morgan in the ring and puts a chair between Liv Morgan's arm under her armpit and then smashes the chair with her boot. And Liv Morgan is screaming, crying. And as she's crying, you hear Rhea Ripley saying to Liv Morgan, you're dead to me. I warned you, stay out of my business. You mean nothing to me. Have fun in rehab. And Liv Morgan is crying, selling this like $1 million. And right now I'm like, you know, yeah, I wanted to see a match, but this segment was tremendous. Until this fucking trainer and a referee shows up. And they're checking on Liv Morgan. And Liv Morgan, you hear her screaming, I can't move my arm. I can't move my arm. And Rhea Ripley's taunting Liv Morgan. And Liv Morgan is crying. And the fans are giving Rhea Ripley tremendous heat. And the official and the trainer are, you know, telling Rhea Ripley, you know, stay away, stay away. And they're trying to tend Liv Morgan. And then Rhea Ripley grabs another fucking chair, and this is where it went off the rails. I gotta minimize this for a second. Rhea Ripley decides one more time. Rhea Ripley grabs the chair and puts it on the Liv Morgan's armpit again. And if you watch the segment again, look at these two fucking goofs in storyline. You have that stupid trainer that I just showed you. He's on the left. He's like, no, no, don't do it, Rhea. No, no. Like, grab a fucking arm in storyline. Grab the chair. And the other one, he's doing his best Aubrey Edwards. And meanwhile, Rhea Ripley's putting the chair. If I'm Liv Morgan, I'm angry at the motherfucking trainer and the, why didn't you stop her? It fell off the rails. Liv Morgan, A plus plus. Rhea Ripley, A plus plus. Trainer and official, honestly, awful. It made the segment from one of the more realistic angles to off the rails. Just watching it like this, like they're doing like ballet, or they just like, I don't know. They're like doing ballet. Like, I'm a butterfly. I'm a butterfly. No, Rhea, no. Like, I'm trying to fly. I hated it. Again, nothing on the girls, but the two guys, man, Rhea Ripley should have fucking beat the shit out of them. At least throw them out of the ring. Let Adam Pearce, you know, like threaten Rhea Ripley with suspension or something. There's just, to me, fell off the rails with that. Should have been a little bit better. So she sells it beautifully, Liv. So Rhea Ripley walks off, and Rhea Ripley is very, very happy with her work. And we see a little bit later on, Liv in back with the trainer. I can't move my arm. So it looks like she will be out for a little while. Alpha Academy's in the back. Maxine Dupri issues a challenge to Valhalla for a match next week. Next week, Maxine Dupri will wrestle her first ever one-on-one match in her career. Valhalla will give her decision later. And, yeah, of course, Valhalla answers it. But I want to show you a picture later. Something that I thought about tonight I think you'll get a good laugh at. All right, we got a little audio to share with you, as I said earlier. Ricochet hits the ring. A little confusing. He calls out Logan Paul, who doesn't come out right away. And Ricochet, still with the "you don't belong here" rant. Remember, Seth Rollins did that rant. Others have done that rant. That is the story that they keep using for Logan Paul. It's the easy go-to story. But then Ricochet does the opposite. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. He says, "you don't belong here." And then he, a few minutes later, says, "you know what? You're special. It's not that you don't belong here. You're an arrogant little prick." And he kind of work shoots a little bit. If you listen closely, Ricochet said that we go sometimes for weeks and months without seeing our family. And that was a little bit of a work shoot because, remember, as we talked about over the weekend, Ricochet and Logan Paul will likely be the opening match at SummerSlam because Logan Paul wants to walk the aisle for Jake Paul's match, I think against Nate Diaz it might be, and that's happening the same night as SummerSlam. So Logan Paul wants to do his match and then hop on a red eye. I don't think those exist anymore, but he wants to walk his brother down the aisle. So I think that was a little, you know, work shoot talking about not seeing families for weeks. So Ricochet issues the challenge for SummerSlam. Then Logan Paul nails him from behind. And as Ricochet is out, Logan Paul decides he's going to take selfies. And as I said earlier, I think he might get a little bit of heat from WWE for saying this.
"Yeah, that's right, Tampa. I'm going to show all of you why I am the best in the WWE.
Sounds a little bit like Bron Breakker right there, doesn't he?
"I'm talking to you up front. Yeah, guy with a mustache. Hey, smile, bro. I'm going to make you famous. Yeah, you need to get laid, you stupid virgin."
All right. So anyway, he's touting what he's going to do at SummerSlam, and Ricochet ends up getting the upper hand, leaves him laying and nails Logan Paul with a shooting star press. A few moments later, we see Logan Paul in the back with Byron Saxton, and he feels so disrespected that he's going to show up again next week on Raw. And that's obviously the go-home show for Raw for SummerSlam. So Logan Paul will be on Raw next week. Here is something that we had a feeling could happen, and it looks like that it is. Shayna Baszler is in the back with Jackie Redmond. Shayna Baszler basically says a match will not settle this. At SummerSlam, she challenges Ronda Rousey to a fight. Now, you could look at this two different ways, everyone. In Monterrey over the weekend, Shayna Baszler wrestled Ronda Rousey. Some of the reports online said that the match was not very good. I don't know if they just need more time to work, but understand, SummerSlam is less than 2 weeks away. You know, so they don't have much time. You know, you could work out in a ring, but you got to test it at house shows and crowd reaction. So I wonder if it's been changed to a fight because maybe they're worried that the match, a wrestling match, would suck. It is pretty interesting that it looks like it's going to be a MMA rules octagon. Then you got to think to yourself, are they going to script, you know, the actual brawling? I mean, you kind of feel like Shayna Baszler has got to come out on top, especially if Ronda Rousey is going to be leaving soon. And who knows, maybe next week they amp it up a notch. But Shayna Baszler issues the challenge, SummerSlam, not a wrestling match, but a fight. Damian Priest beats Apollo Crews with the South of Heaven. Very, very quick match. Not much there. It was okay match, but, you know, just basically killing time. I think people will agree. Valhalla. We see a little video of Valhalla with the Viking Raiders. And she accepts Maxine Dupree's challenge. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying to myself, wow, that must really suck if they had to put all that makeup on just so Valhalla could say, I accept. You know, I mean, I'm sure they probably have recorded vignettes for things over the past, but something tells me that, you know, that this match with Maxine Dupri was not necessarily planned the way that they wanted it to, but Valhalla accepts. So next week, they're going to have a one-on-one. So now we get some to the good shit. Imperium is in the ring. Drew McIntyre comes out. Drew McIntyre wants a shot at the Intercontinental Championship. And Gunther, if you listen closely, Gunther kind of like losing his accent a couple of times, if you listen closely. But Gunther is asking the question more than once. You want to fight me tonight for the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship? He always adds the word heavyweight, which I like. And then he says that I'm not putting the title on the line in Tampa in front of these degenerates. He brings up how Drew McIntyre failed at Clash at the Castle. He failed at WrestleMania. And one of the rare times, Gunther getting the what chance doesn't faze him at all. Gunther tells Drew, I'm going to humiliate you at SummerSlam, and then we get story time with Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre brings up WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre talks about how back in the day, he and Sheamus always wanted to fight each other one-on-one at WrestleMania, and WrestleMania was a three-way, and they beat the crap out of each other, and Gunther ended up taking the scraps, picking the bones, and got the win, which he should. Drew admitted that, but at SummerSlam, it's going to be one-on-one, and I'm going to beat your ass at SummerSlam. And for some reason, Ludwig Kaiser is extremely pissed off. Really pissed off. Did you get the little bloodline joke, everybody? Did you get the little bloodline joke? Drew McIntyre says to Ludwig, because Ludwig's like, how dare you insulting denial? And Drew is like, you know, I like you, Ludwig. In fact, I think you should be the leader of Imperium. And I'm thinking, oh, now they're biting off of bloodline stuff. That Jey Uso should be the leader of the bloodline, the tribal chief. Drew tells Ludwig tonight, I like you. You should be the leader of Imperium. And he's looking at him like, the fuck you talking about? And Drew McIntyre is like, hey, I'm dressed tonight for a match. You're dressed. Let's have a match. We go to commercial. We come back. We have an awesome, awesome match between Drew McIntyre and Ludwig Kaiser. Drew McIntyre beats Ludwig Kaiser, but Ludwig Kaiser got a hell of a lot more offense than I thought he would get, especially this close to SummerSlam. Get a really, really nice air raid clash by Drew. Ludwig Kaiser tries to hit a future shock, but eats a glass cow kiss, and here's where we think the match is over. Drew McIntyre goes for the Claymore, but Ludwig super kicks Drew. And what was interesting, if you go back to that match, what was interesting is I kept hearing the crowd throughout the match, we want tables, we want tables. And I'm saying to myself, Drew McIntyre is not the type that would use tables. Why do they keep chanting for tables? I didn't hear them chanting that for Dominic and Sammy. I didn't hear them chanting that for Damian Priest and Apollo Crews, even though that match was very short. I didn't hear it with Becky Lynch as Zoe Stark. I didn't hear it with Ciampa and Bronson Reed, but they chanted it numerous times. And Drew McIntyre ends up hitting the Claymore for the win. And then immediately after the match is over, Imperium, Giovanni Vinci, and Gunther start attacking Drew McIntyre. Matt Riddle goes to make the save, and unfortunately, as we keep talking about, there's the pin from Drew McIntyre. Matt Riddle is laid out by Gunther. Gunther then powerbombs Riddle, goes outside the ring, nails a kick to Drew McIntyre's head, knocking him out. And we hear more. We want tables. And Gunther obliges. He starts taking the commentators' monitors off the table, and the crowd is popping. They're getting fucking tables. And Gunther looks like he's about to dump Drew McIntyre through the table, but Drew McIntyre reverses it, and he powerbombs Gunther through the table, and crowd went nuts for it. And yes, I think it deserves to be brought up one more time. If you're catching the show live right now and you didn't hear the very beginning of tonight's show, to me, not only was this match awesome, but Corey Graves tonight, multiple times during this match, decided he was going to impersonate Ludwig Kaiser one more time because it was that good.
I'm going to do commentary as Ludwig Kaiser for the duration of this match. Kevin Patrick, be at the top of your game as we witness a side headlock that will make the ring general blush. This is expert wrestling ability.
All right, we don't need to do any more, but you get the picture. Lot of fun. Lot of fun. So Drew McIntyre leaves, Gunther laying, crowd is going nuts. Ronda Rousey is in the back, and she accepts. It was funny. She's like, Shayna Baszler doesn't challenge me to anything, but she accepted the fight anyway, so we're going to get that fight at SummerSlam. Then we get the Finn Balor, Seth Rollins face-to-face. Finn Balor comes out there first. Adam Pearce was supposed to oversee the contract signing, but with all the chaos that the Judgment Day did tonight, we can handle this like gentlemen. And while this is going on, the crowd is serenading Seth Rollins, who hadn't even come out yet. And it's funny, I'm looking at the social media reaction, and they're like, crowd, shut the fuck up. Let Balor talk. And I'm saying to myself, no, this is what they're supposed to do. You know, when Balor looks pissed, he's doing his job. I mean, they're not trying to sabotage Balor. This is part of the show. So Seth Rollins' music hits, gets a big pop. Seth Rollins hits the ring, and they sign the contract. And right as they sign the contract, Finn Balor with a few insults to Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins with a few insults to Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins says, if you beat me, your title reign is going to be even shorter than your Universal title reign, because Damian Priest is going to immediately cash in on your ass, and you know that you would do the same to him. And at SummerSlam, it will be the end of Judgment Day. So Finn Balor thinks it's pretty funny. Finn Balor says that the Judgment Day run Monday Night Raw. He's got this smile on his face, and the crowd is now giving a what chance to Finn Balor. And Finn Balor's doing his cadence to go along with the what's, and the Judgment Day show up. And Seth Rollins realizes he's got a little bit of a problem. And probably the line of the night, Finn Balor talks about how he's for 7 years waited for this. He's had an itch that he can't scratch, a 7-year itch that he can't scratch. But at SummerSlam, I'm going to make you my 7-year bitch. Judgment Day hit the ring. They lay out Seth Rollins. Sami Zayn tries to make the save. He gets beat down. Damian Priest hits the ring, nails Seth Rollins, hits Seth Rollins with the razor's edge. We get a brief moment that was really interesting. Damian Priest looking at that briefcase, contemplating if he should cash it in at that very moment. Finn Balor staring the shit out of that briefcase as well. It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. But Damian Priest hits the razor's edge. Dirty Dom hits the frog splash. Finn Balor hits the coup de grace. And the Judgment Day leave Seth Rollins laying in the middle of the ring. No cash in. Seth Rollins is left laying. And that's how they closed out Raw. Not a bad show. Had its good moments, great moments, you know, some not so spectacular moments. Next week, Brock Lesnar makes his return. You know, we talked about their schedules a couple of weeks ago, so we know exactly what Brock Lesnar's schedule is going to be. So he will return, and the only match that's been announced next week is Valhalla versus Maxxine Dupri. So pretty good night tonight on Raw. Main event results, Kanan Carter over Nikki Cross and Sanga over Akira Tozawa. By the way, I'm really digging that they're using a little bit of old-school Steppenwolf. Born to be Wild. Cactus Jack used to come out to that when he was in ECW. So I still, when I hear that song, I still sometimes think of Mick Foley when he was Cactus Jack in ECW. But they are doing a little bit of old-school rock. Listen, when you get songs this old now, you can pretty much get them on the cheap. So you're using a little bit of vintage, you know, Ozzy or any other group. Yeah, why not? You know, even AEW, they use some old school rock music. And those songs, 50, 60 years old, a lot easier to license them now compared to like 20, 30 years ago. So, yeah, so that is the theme for SummerSlam. I'm sure there's more than one theme. By the way, as of right now for SummerSlam, as of right now, we have Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Jey Uso in a tribal combat. Saturday's Don Tony show, which I will put here as a cheap plug if you want to go check it out. We talked about what we think a tribal combat match will be. Will it be special ring attire? Will there be face paint? Will the elders be at ringside? I think you may have all of the above. Will we have special weapons at ringside? Are we going to have special props to make it feel like a tribal. You know, you can't just say tribal. You know, this isn't like the Viking Raiders. And it's funny that the Alpha Academy today, they were joking about the what are Viking rules? Remember last week? The Viking rules. There are no rules. So we need, if it's going to be tribal combat and the elders requested it, I don't think the elders back in the 1600s, the 1800s, the 1900s, the 1400s, prehistoric eras, I don't think they just punched each other and that's it. Something tells me there's going to be a ritual. I think we're going to see some Star Trek type rituals. Amok time. Anybody loves old school Star Trek? Amok time. Amok time. So we will see. But that match is going down. Asuka will be defending the WWE Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair in a three-way. Logan Paul will be taking on Ricochet, and that will probably open up SummerSlam. Seth freaking Rollins defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey in a fight, probably MMA rules, octagon, fight pit. Don't know. I'm sure we'll get more details. Will we have a special guest referee? Something to think about. Also, Trish Stratus taking on Becky Lynch. And we'll find out what other matches are going to be signed. I'm sure something will be added probably at Friday SmackDown. So that is what we got so far. Now, before I get into couple of interesting ratings tidbits. NXT for tomorrow. Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley will both be in attendance. Also tomorrow, we're going to have a six-man tag. Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes, and Trick Williams versus the Schism. I think we know what that outcome is going to be. Wow. Boy, did they Photoshop Dana Brooke there. None against Dana Brooke. Man, did they Photoshop her. Dana Brooke taking on Cora Jade. Why are they, jobbing out Cora Jade for the last 6 weeks? I don't get it. Maybe it's a mental test. You'd be surprised. Gable Steveson will reveal his future in NXT. Now, remember, there's a lot of rumors that Gable Steveson is going to be, returning back to competition. So I think we may learn that Gable Steveson will reveal that he's going to be leaving for competition. Somebody will come out there, fuck with him, and he'll probably suplex someone a couple of times tomorrow, and we will see him exit for a little while. I know a lot of you are like, man, when is this guy ever going to debut, as far as be a regular? He's still got so many years ahead of him in WWE. WWE waits a year, 2 years. It's not a big deal. It's not like he has to, his egg has to hatch now. But, we will see a little bit of an announcement tomorrow. Also, tomorrow, do we have anything else to hype? No, that's it. That is your preview. I mean, I know there's a little bit more announced, but you could go check that out. Tomorrow, Wednesday for AEW Dynamite, we got Orange Cassidy defending the International Championship against AR Fox. And again, we all agree Orange Cassidy is probably the top champion in that company right now. He has had the biggest workload, but this is a good example. You get matches like AR Fox. To me, it's just padding numbers. He's a harder working Jade Cargill with a lot more talent. And that's only because of Jade Cargill being inexperienced. Pac taking on Gravity. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? Pac taking on Gravity. Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. Wednesday. I keep saying tomorrow, even though technically it is Tuesday, everyone. I can't wait. Maybe Excalibur will pronounce his name differently. Remember Konosuke Takeshita? No, it's Konosuke Takeshita. He's always got to pronounce things differently. Well, we'll probably find out. It's not Gravity. It's Gravity. Pac will be taking on Gravity. 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 I'm looking at my shirt. I forgot what it said. Less upsetti, more spaghetti. Ugh. All right. John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli versus the Lucha Bros versus Best Friends. MJF and Adam Cole. This will be more comedy leading into a Collision. Not criticizing it. Darby Allin versus Swerve Strickland. That might be the match of the night. And Taya Valkyrie versus Britt Baker. Wow, interesting to see Collision wrestlers on Dynamite and Dynamite wrestlers on Collision. Doesn't Collision feel like Saturday Night Dynamite? Who said that's before Collision's first ever debut? Oh, by the way, Wednesday Night Dynamite will return this Wednesday. And I can't wait to vent about this. Am I upset that Roosh re-signed with AEW? No. I have become a big fan of Roosh. I like him. Remember, I used to say he looked like, you know, what happens if you cross if a Latina had sex with Batista? To me, he looks like Batista had sex with a Latino and gave birth to Roosh. But I like Roosh. But they did it again, everybody. What's that fucking thing that we've been talking about for about 7 months? Somebody's contract is up in AEW. Rumors they might sign the WWE. And then all of a sudden, he chose AEW over WWE. They fucking did it again today. Knew it. Dave Meltzer started that shit. Oh, Roosh's contract, it's rumored to be up. And, you know, WWE has interest. Oh, no, Roosh chose AEW over WWE. He fucking did that shit again. I'm not saying that Roosh didn't want to choose WWE. All I'm saying is that they knew what Roosh was going to do. And they kept it vague for 10 days. Remember Jay White? 10 days. Him, 10 days. And others, 10 days. And it'll probably happen with Hook. But Hook, it's a little bit different because Hook is kind of like a potted plant. You know, he doesn't really talk much. And I'm not criticizing him. But they do that shit all the time. And people online... Tony Khan was trending tonight. And when I looked it up, it's because there's millions of people. Oh, Roosh chose Tony Khan and AEW over Triple H and WWE. Smell that shit a mile away, man. All right. Yeah, let's mention. Oh, and when I do Wednesday Night Dynamite, we'll start talking about Great American Bash. Some ratings. Then we got a little quick history plug. This week's wrestling history is a lot of fun. I don't have all the previews in front of me, but just a couple of picture previews. Jim Cornette made his WWF debut this week in history. A really, really fun fucking match. Bob Backlund, as a WWF champion, I think going to a one-hour time limit draw against Antonio Inoki in Japan. That was for the WWF championship, I believe, that happened this week in history. Also this week in history, remember when John Cena's nose got all twisted and swollen and all broken and bent out of shape? What was it Seth Rollins, right? Seth Rollins with the knee, if I remember correctly. And I don't even have a close-up. I mean, these are not high-quality photos. Look at John Cena's nose. It almost looks like, oh, no, we're not going to go there. Yeah, it was Seth Rollins back then. Remember when Seth Rollins used to get a lot of heat for being stiff in the ring? Who remembers Eddie Guerrero feuding with Kurt Angle? This was a memorable moment this week in history, him making fun of Kurt Angle. And who remembers story time with Eddie Guerrero? We revisit this. Remember Eddie's bedtime stories? Yeah. You'll hear highlights this week in history that happened. Also, for this week, let's see what else we got. I know a lot of women stuff happened this week. Oh, Hulk Hogan, brother! N-word, barred pretty much from wrestling for a little while, cried on ABC TV, I never should have said what I said, brother. Did he, oh shit, fuck, it fucking rewounded on me. That's all right, we get there, there we go, all right, Hulk. Oh, look at that, Triple H gets busted, doing moves on Trish Stratus, looks like he's doing a little doggy. Trish Stratus, Triple H, Stephanie walks in the room. What the fuck you doing, Triple H? That was a funny segment that happened this week in history. Also this week in history, Dusty Rhodes, last ever NWA Heavyweight Championship reign. This week, look, he's with Gordon Solie. Maybe they were going to Colombia for a couple of drinks after with Michelle. For real. Pretty cool. That this week in history, that happened. Also, now we start getting into the women. I think Miss Elizabeth made her debut, managing Macho Man this week in history. Also, as far as women goes, CM Punk made his return. He challenged John Cena. They both had WWE championships. They both had spinner belts. Did they have both? Is that really spinner? I don't think that is spinner. I try to block the spinner shit out of my brain. But yeah, they had that confrontation. CM Punk made his return. The NWO. And was this their first ever promo? I think this week in history was the first ever. The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order. And we play it. A little more NWO in a moment. One of my favorite feuds of all time. Terry Funk and Ric Flair. This was 89. Great American Bash? I think this week in history. That went down. And wrapping up some little teasers. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to tune into the show to see what this is about. Did you ever see this photo before? That is a very young Dwayne Johnson with Nature Boy Ric Flair, when Ric Flair was still in WCW. So, little tidbit. You have to tune in to find out what that's all about. Then we got the infamous moment where Sable came out with, this week in history. I still remember Jerry Lawler. Remember Jerry Lawler that night? Honestly, if Jerry Lawler, he might have had a heart attack that night and didn't even know it. I hope he's doing well. I hope he's doing better, I should say. This week in history, Sensational Sherry Martel beat the Fabulous Moolah to win the WWF Women's Championship. I think Fabulous Moolah was 63 years old. She was either 63 or 69. I think she was 63 in that photo. What else do we got over here? Because I know we're just wrapping this up. The brawl to end it all on MTV that happened this week. Mean Gene Okerlund having a cocktail with Cyndi Lauper and Wendi Richter. Wendi Richter this week also, I think she won the World Wrestling Council Women's Championship. Molly Holly winning the Women's Championship this week in history. And, Rodman Down Under. If you never saw that pay-per-view, do not look out and try to find it and watch it. It was god-awful. I think he took on Kurt Hennig. In Australia, it was called Rodman Down Under. 1999, I think I remember the pay-per-view was. We watched it. And I know Kevin and I covered it that night, and it was fucking awful. Or it might have been the Blackhearts. I don't know, but we covered it, and it was awful. All right. JS says, how did I compose all of this? Takes hours of research. I've said this before. The history shows is the hardest thing that I've ever done. I've been doing this since 97. Those shows were the hardest thing that I ever did. But the reason why I went down that rabbit hole was because I got to relive moments that I completely forgot about for decades. I also got to enjoy moments that I never knew existed. And that's why there's so many audio clips on these history shows, because it's some of the stuff is so epic. Here's a good example. This week in history, Bob Backlund, for the first time, turned heel. And this match did not air on like Raw. This was before. They teased it a couple of weeks before. The greatest WWF Superstars match of all time. Bret Hart defending the WWF Championship against Bob Backlund. That match, Jim Ross covers it on commentary. JR is on commentary. That's what makes it even better. And Bob Backlund looking in his hands like, what have I done? This was the calm before the storm. So yeah, it's a lot of hard work, but I had fun doing it. I don't know if I could ever do that shit again. Yeah, there's Wendi winning the World Wrestling Council Women's Championship. That happened this week in history, and I think that is it. Yeah, Jim Cornette making his WWF debut. Maybe one of you out there want to let him know, hey, happy anniversary, Jim Cornette. This week in history, he made his WWF debut. What year did he debut? 93? So it might be the 30-year anniversary. Anybody remember what year he debuted? I mean, I know Raw started in 93. I think, yeah, this, hey, happy 30th anniversary, Jim Cornette, WWF debut. All right, some ratings this week. This is interesting. Did you all, I know that when Showbuzz Daily closed down, that all the wrestling news sites out there, they just wait for WrestleNomics to post a number. Otherwise, they have no connections whatsoever. A lot of these non-wrestling sites out there do not post cable TV ratings. They'll post it for news networks, but that's pretty much it. That's why nobody has numbers. I have some connections still. Not the greatest, but I'll take what I can get. Over the weekend, there were reports that women's FIFA, women's soccer, that aired on Fox in place of SmackDown this week. The early report is that it did 3.5 million viewers. And I also saw another non-wrestling site report that it could have gone as high as 5.1 million, which I thought was bullshit. As much as, you know, I know soccer could be popular, you know, I was like, there's no way women's soccer on a Friday night on Fox is going to get 5 million viewers. 3.5 million, I was like, that's impressive, man, because SmackDown normally gets in the mid-2s. So people are like, oh, and me too. How could you put women's soccer in place of SmackDown? The bloodline, Roman Reigns, everything that's on fire. How do you replace that? So I was like, they did 3.5 million. All right. So you had, you know, all the sites out there reporting 3.5 million. Well, the rating came in today, 1,529,000. So women's soccer, the rating came in lower than what SmackDown was. So in the end, yeah, they lost some viewers for Friday. Stone Cold, well, let's do it in order. Raw last week did 1,855,000 viewers, up from the week prior is 1,809,000. The women's tag title match last week, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez versus Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. That was the highest segment of the night. By the way, outside of Roman Reigns on SmackDown Friday, Charlotte Flair and, no, was it Charlotte Flair? Yeah, Charlotte Flair and Io Sky, highest rating for a wrestling match on SmackDown. The women are getting great ratings on WWE. Remember, Natty versus Rhea Ripley was the highest segment a couple of weeks ago. Take note of it. No one else, not even the women's wrestling websites that are run by women, talked by women, followed by mostly women, they're not even noticing it. You heard it here. The women are popping ratings in WWE. It's almost on a consistent basis now. Just want to mention that. Unfortunately, Bronson Reed and Shinsuke was the lowest. Only did 1,600,000. So the women's tag title match did 2,024,000 last week. The Bronson Reed Shinsuke match with Ciampa's crappy interference last week did 1,652,000. NXT last week did 746,000, up from the week prior, 671,000. The low point of the night was Axiom and Scripps, which we knew Scripps was turning on Axiom. We talked about it for weeks. Versus Bronco Nima and Lucian Price. That did, I think, did 694. Wes Lee versus Dominic Mysterio did 844. And as we talked about on Saturday, Dominic Mysterio outdrew Finn Balor and Damian Priest match on NXT. Dominic Mysterio, if there would have been an overrun, would possibly have reached Seth Rollins' raising against Bron Breakker. Pretty wild when you think about it. Dynamite Wednesday did 953,000 viewers, up from the week prior is 825. The early part of the Elite versus the Blackpool Combat Club, Blood and Guts, was the high point, did 980,000 viewers. As the match went on, the ratings went down. When Blood and Guts first started, it started at 980. By the time Blood and Guts finished, it was down to 928. As it went on, it lost some viewers, not a lot. We're not trying to be dramatic here. The low part of Dynamite was Hook versus Jack Perry and Kayla Sparks versus Britt Baker. That did 914,000. Nothing should be shameful, should be shamed that night. Every quarter was over 900,000. New Japan Thursday did 63,000 viewers, up from the week prior's 56,000. Impact Wrestling did 111,000, down from the week prior's 126. Kind of surprising now that Trinity is the Knockouts champion. They just can't get more viewers to tune in. I don't get it. Up 10, down 10. Up 20, down 20. Rampage this past Friday did 415,000 viewers, up from the week prior's 310, about a 25% increase. The high point of the night was the Royal Rampage match, which did 474,000 viewers. Unfortunately, as we bring up the low point of the night, women's match, Athena versus Willow, lowest part a week earlier. Women's match on Battle of the Belts, lowest part of that. AEW, unfortunately, the women's matches, unless they're thumbtacks, blood, you know, barbed wire, chairs, and weapons, and it has to be announced in advance, they're the lowest parts of the night consistently. It's pretty wild to see the difference. But Statlander and Shafir only did 359. SmackDown Friday did 1,230,000 viewers. I know that's pathetically low, but that is FS1. And, you know, in the past, they didn't even break a mil. So 1,230,000 is a decent number being on FS1. The low part of the night, and I think this is common sense, the low part of the night was the opening of SmackDown. Probably because a lot of people forgot that it was on FS1. Rey Mysterio, Sheamus, Cameron Grimes, and LA Knight did 1,008,000. The high point of the night was the Rules of Engagement. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Solo, Paul Heyman, 1,484,000. So to close out SmackDown with 1.5 mil on FS1, not bad. By the way, the week prior, Jey Uso with Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman when he super kicked Paul Heyman, that quarter did 2,570,000. So even without Roman Reigns, Jey Uso got almost 2.6 million. That's pretty damn good. AEW Battle of the Belts did 520,000. That is the week prior, obviously. The high point was the post-match with Ricky Starks and CM Punk and Orange Cassidy versus Lance Archer. That did 599,000 viewers. Luchasaurus versus Shawn Spears did 446. Collision for the week prior did 575. We won't have July 22nd's rating until tomorrow. So I'll talk about it on Wednesday night Dynamite. But the high point from the week prior was CM Punk and Ricky Starks. You know, the Owen Hart tournament final did 634. And the low point, believe it or not, remember Bullet Club Gold versus FTR, 2 out of 3 falls that went like 4 quarters? The beginning and the end were the lowest of the night. It started at 544, went up to 546, went up a little bit more to 582, went back down to 544. So the match started and ended with the same exact number of viewers. And Stone Cold Takes on America did 212,000, a little up from the week prior is 201. That is it. That is it for tonight. So, I'm out of here. We're at the 90-minute mark. I gave my super shout-outs for the night already. So, yeah, let me know what you thought of tonight's Raw. Overall, I thought it was a solid show. I mean, you know, put it this way. If an official and a referee doing what we were showing earlier, if that's the worst part of Raw, I think they did pretty good tonight. Because even that segment was only about 90 seconds long. The Apollo Crews Damian Priest match to me was a throwaway. I don't know when they're going to start elevating some of these guys. When does Gargano come out there for Ciampa? It feels like they're going with a singles feud with Ciampa and Nakamura. I mean, Gargano's sitting on the sidelines waiting, and they're not doing anything. So, all right. So I'm going to jet out of here. If you are part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, I will be live tomorrow at 10:05. It'll be a straight-up regular Patreon show like we always do. If you're a channel member on YouTube, you will get the episode after the live stream is done. And I'll be recording Wednesday night Dynamite, late Wednesday night. It'll be online probably around midnight. I'll probably do the NXT stuff earlier in the day, and I'll wrap up the AEW stuff late in the day, and that'll be online. And then we got the weekend shows coming up. So it's going to be a little bit of a busy week, but, you know, next weekend is SummerSlam, and it's on a Saturday, so we get to, you know, rest up a little bit for that Sunday. We get to, you know, get that extra day. I don't understand, and I will talk Wednesday about Chris Van Vliet. I always say Vliet. Chris Van Vliet. I always say Vliet. I just force a habit, but Chris Van Vliet's interview with Dave Meltzer. Yes, I finally heard it. People have been asking me. I will comment about the rating stuff. I have some interesting things to say. Not all of it is in support of Dave Meltzer. I will criticize it. But I definitely have a few things to say about that. But, you know, we'll definitely get into that. But, you know, Wednesday should be a pretty interesting episode. I definitely have some rants to go on. And we'll see what else we got to get into this week. But, you know, I remember recently he and a lot of others were almost like, I don't want to say criticizing WWE for changing their pay-per-views to Saturdays as if it was an AEW thing. I think if it was up to me, I'd rather stay up late Saturday watching a wrestling pay-per-view than staying up late Sunday. I got to work the next day. A lot of you have to work the next day. A lot of you have school. You know, so it's a big difference, you know, going to sleep late, late, late on a Sunday compared to a Saturday. I wish WWE would have done Saturday pay-per-views years ago. I freaking love the idea that they do pay-per-views on a Saturday night. And as far as I understand with the Peacock numbers, they have not hurt the numbers, even though it's a Saturday compared to a Sunday. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. So I have a few topics to get into. But, yeah, so I'll either catch you all on Patreon tomorrow or Wednesday Night Dynamite on Wednesday. So much love, everyone. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week if I don't talk to you. And, yeah, Don Tony.
As far back why as does I can do remember. My old.
It's like my computer's like, all right, everybody, just say goodnight and get off the air. Cuts me off sometimes. It pisses me off. So, everyone, have a good night. All the best, and I'll catch you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Hey, a little bonus. Hang on, if you could hear me. A little bonus. As I was going off the air, let me see if I could put this up. It's not a big deal, but I think you'll all get a kick out of it. Just to show you how smart we can all be sometimes. Tonight at 11:51 p.m. Eastern, while we were live, this was announced. Rhea Ripley versus Tyra Valkyria. So, yeah. Had a feeling it was going to go down. It's going down. Much love, everybody. Be well. Catch you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster.